following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And welcome to turn 102 of A Worthy Opponent, a casual podcast based on the Blizzard game Hearthstone. I am Black Lace, and with me in the studio today is Ugly Brute.
Hello, it's nice to be back from holidays.
Yes, we missed you last week. Welcome back.
I know I missed you guys too, but I was allowed to cheat. I was allowed to listen to the show, so I felt like I was with you guys.
Oh, cool. Well, we didn't feel like you were with us because you weren't. But anyway, we missed you. Also in the studio is the birthday boy, Autumn's Bane.
Was actually a pretty nice guy before, you know, the whole Lich King thing.
There's no Arthas card.
There was another Lich King though too. Was it one of the other paladins that became a Lich King as well?
I don't know. I don't know that card. What is that card?
It is
Fizzle
my one? Birthday present. See, yesterday was my birthday. I got 100 gold together.
I said,
let me buy a pack. And wouldn't it be great if on my birthday, after weeks and weeks of not getting a legendary, I actually got a legendary. And I did. And I got Anubarak.
Anubarak.
The
Nine
Blizzard
casting
gods.
Cost, 8/4 minion, death rattle, return this to your hand and summon a 4/4 Nerubian.
Is that
so
the
went
bad
right
guy
into
that...
my rogue deck that I don't play.
Is that the bad guy that lived underneath the Grand Tournament site?
Yes, but he's only bad because the Lich King made him bad.
Ah, hence the explanation in the text that you gave us there at the start.
Exactly.
Cool bananas. Well, congratulations on your legend.
Thank you.
Yep, congratulations. I don't know. So, it's our birthday of our podcast.
Happy birthday, a worthy opponent.
We are 2 years tomorrow.
Two years.
Woohoo! God, it does not feel that way. So, aside from that, we do have simple news this week. The Highmaul card back is going to be given out in a few days. Today's the 26th, so Sunday we should have our new card back, and they'll announce the next one. I'm not crazy about this one. I probably won't use it. And also, Hearthstone is now live in Japan.
Is it?
It is. As of 6 days ago, it went live.
I think I'm Japanese. I really think so.
No, you're Australian.
And I think it's your turning Japanese. I don't know.
Ah, there you go, see. Now I'm showing my age. Oh, by the way, for everyone listening, just a clue. I won't tell
Please
you how old...
Please don't tell them what that song means.
Autumn Spain is.
Not on the
Autumn
show.
Autumn Spain is between 31 and 87 years old.
Yes, he is.
How dare you tell people I'm over 31?
Okay, and under 80. Let's see. So that's kind of it. There's not a lot of news. Other things kind of segue into our news. Ugly Brute, you kind of did some digging and found some additional cards than the one Autumn's Bane mentioned on when we were talking to Yangwoo. That didn't make it into Hearthstone. So tell us what did you find?
Yeah, I saw there's a really interesting at Hearthstone Wiki. Did you guys ever know there was a site called Hearthstone Wiki?
I think we've used it, haven't we?
Okay, yeah. Well, I haven't, but they've got they have a complete collection of all of the cards that never made it into the original Hearthstone.
Mm-hmm. So pictures and all?
Pictures and all what they do, the whole lot. Now, I can't go through all of them here on the show, and but I do recommend people go over to Hearthstone Wiki and have a look. But I'm going to go through a few with you guys and see what you think of them. Now, one of them we had a hint of a couple of weeks ago when we were speaking with Yongwu on the show. We talked about the card that if you moused over it, you actually got damaged. And that was the Auto Pekka 4000, which was a 1-1 mechanical chicken. And if your opponent played it and you thought, what's this thing? And you put your mouse over it to read about it, you'd actually get an ouch from that. So that was quite a funny one. I think it probably didn't make the cut because of the name, the Auto Pekka. I don't know whether in America Pekka means the same thing it means in Australia.
Yes,
but...
yes,
not
yes,
why.
Okay.
But,
I'm
that's
sure that
not why.
Most people don't want to see your Auto Pekka 4000 when they play a game of Hearthstone against you.
Ben Brode and Eric Dodds told us why those cards didn't make it, and that was not the reason.
That was not the reason.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Now, here's the next one. Are you ready for this? It's classic. It was called this card was a robot, and it was called the World Flipper X50. And when you played this card, when you played this card, it turned your opponent's board upside down.
That's hysterical. That's kind of like what was the World Destroyer in Magic: The Gathering? Was that the card that you got to shred into little tiny pieces and scatter it like confetti?
No. You're mixing your legends.
I know.
There was a Chaos Orb. And
Chaos
you
Orb, that's
flip
it.
Flip the card and whatever it landed on would leave the game. So when they came out with their Unglued expansion, they included a card called Chaos Confetti. And it was meant to be cut up into a million pieces thrown into the air. And of course it would land on almost everything and remove those cards from the game. And that was based on an urban legend of somebody who supposedly cut up his Chaos Orb to do it. But that never really happened. No one can verify that it actually happened.
I think that is hysterical.
But it was a cool story.
I was thinking, guys, with this World Flipper X50 that turns your opponent's board upside down, do you guys ever play on a tablet like an iPad or something like that?
All the time.
Yes.
Have you ever done anything on your iPad and it's like, oh, the stupid thing's the wrong way around and you're trying to get your iPad to figure out how to turn it around correctly?
It keeps flipping every time you turn it over, it turns over again.
I can only imagine people who, if the World Flipper X50 made it into the game, there'll be so many people like bashing their iPads going, what's wrong with this iPad? Because they don't read what the Minion does
they
and they think that their iPad's
the
gone crazy.
Funny.
And when you're watching... when you're watching someone in a tournament, sometimes their cards are upside down, and I find even just that confusing, let alone the entire board being upside down. So, yeah, that would have been crazy if they added that to the game. Now, the next one, guys, is Devouring Ooze. Do you want to hear what that one does?
Of course
yes.
We do.
This is a very interesting one. It was a 3-mana cost 3/3 ooze. It looked almost exactly like the actual ooze we've got now that destroys weapons. But what this one did was something really unusual. If you were playing in ranked mode and you used a devouring ooze, for each game you lost in a row, the devouring ooze would be +1/+1 for the next game.
Oh my god, it carries over games instead.
So if you lost 5 games in a row, you would have had an 8/8 devouring ooze for 3 on your next game.
Oh my god. People would lose on purpose for that.
Yeah, exactly. But then, they realized that it's totally unfair to the... they tried to put that one in because they were hoping that would help people to balance out their losing streaks in ranked. But then they realized it was completely unfair to the other player that faced against it. So they had to get rid of it.
That's pretty awesome. That is pretty awesome. That's scary, though, because you know what? That really shows how they track how many games you've lost.
Yeah, good point. But you could imagine, I would have to say that almost everyone, well, unless you were a really good player who doesn't lose much, everyone would have had devouring oozes in their ranked deck list for sure if they existed.
Mm.
Now, the next three that I'm going to go through, remember, there's heaps more on the website. So go there, listeners, if you're really enjoying this information. But the next three I'm going to touch on are class cards. Now, the first one was a rogue class card called Envenom. And what that one did was it doubled the damage of your weapon this turn. Now, can you imagine?
Oh, that sounds good. I mean, that's what they do in game. The rogues in Warcraft can put Envenom on their blades.
Yeah, exactly. But can you imagine, like, today, you could throw on two deadly poisons, then you can throw on the oil, and then you can double that, and then you can hit them, and then you can fan, and then you can blade flurry. So it just would have made for too many OTKs. It would have been too many one-turn kills if that card actually got through for Rogue.
Say this again. I'm so sorry.
Oh, so I'm just saying, because Rogue has the ability to add so many bonuses to their weapon already, if you could then double it, like, for example, you could get, say, a 12 damage blade right now, and then if you made that a 24 damage blade, you could hit the opponent for 24 or 25, and then you could blade flurry for another 25. So you could actually, in just one turn, before even turn 10,
absolutely,
you could actually kill them, which isn't really fair. So that's why Rogue and Venom didn't make it into the
Yeah, that's a
set.
Good point. That would have been very broken. And that's why they playtest them before they ever come out to where we see them.
Exactly. And speaking of... Yep, you go, Autumn.
Yeah, it's just, you know, while we're thinking of this, it reminds me of what we announced last week about the Warsong Commander getting nerfed. It's because they can't think about just the card. They have to think about what it does to the meta. And I don't know if we mentioned this last week, so I just wanted to bring it up. Or if I'm repeating myself, that's what happens when you're 87 years old. Is that
or less?
One of the main reasons they said that they nerfed that was it was going to inhibit the development of other cards in the future. That every time they go to put something cool in the game, they say, oh, we can't do that because Warsong Commander would break it. So they just had to break the one card to prevent other cards from being broken.
Interesting.
The same way they changed secrets before Naxx, remember? For the same reason. That was the type of decision that was.
Hmm.
So go on, Ugly Brew.
How many more you got?
No, that's fine. Only two more.
Okay.
Now, speaking of playtesting and so forth, this next one was amazing. Because this next one that I'm going to tell you now, it sounds so innocent, but the testers found a big problem with it. So I'll just read it for you. It's a shaman card. It was called Mana Spring Totem. It was a two-cost totem, and it made all your other cards cost one less. Now that sounds harmless, doesn't it?
Well, wait a minute. All your other cards permanently?
Just while the totem exists. So the totem it costs two mana, and you play it on the board on turn two. And what it does is it makes all your other cards in your hand one less, cost one less. But what the testers realized was that if you had two of them out, so on turn four, if you played two Mana Spring Totems, all the other cards in your hand two less cost, right? So what that meant was the testers realized that if you had a Knife Juggler and two Youthful Brewmasters, you could have infinite damage and you could just win the game on turn four.
Right, because they'd both be free.
Yeah, because everything will be free. The two Brewmasters will be free and the Knife Juggler will be free. So you chuck the Knife Juggler on the board and then you just keep bringing
then
back Youthmasters, Youthmasters,
hand.
Youthmasters,
oh,
Youthmasters, and you could just destroy the other person. So this totem, it sounded so innocent because all it did was just make everything in your hand cost one less. But they realized that this combo would just be devastating for the game, so they had to leave it out.
Yeah, that's too bad they didn't find out about the Frothing Berserker Grim Patron Warsong Commander combo in advance.
That's it. Now, guys, I saved my favorite to last. It's a warrior card. So if Micmac's listening, he'll be frothing at the bit for this one.
Of course he's listening. He's walking
Excellent.
His dog and listening.
Awesome, awesome. Well,
and in the chat room.
This warrior
Yes.
This warrior card was called Death Wish, and I just love that name. I want that name. Something in the future for warrior has to have the name Death Wish on it.
Was there a picture of Charles Bronson?
Yes, I was going to ask.
No, there wasn't the Charles Bronson picture. But anyway, get a load of this, guys. I'm going to pause for a second so that you can just get in your mind what this card did. All right?
I know. Made me want to shoot myself like playing against a priest. That's a death wish, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so ready, guys? This is what Death Wish does. Theatrical pause. Your hero loses all armor. Gain plus one attack this turn for each armor lost.
It's really situational, though.
Now, actually, it's crazy because there is, just for a second, like, what it means was, just say, for example, you were a warrior who got up to 100 armor, right? Which you could do even before Justicar Trueheart came out. You could get up to 100 armor. You could convert that into 100 damage on your attack and then hit the opponent's face.
So it's a warrior card.
It's a warrior card, yeah. So what you can do is you can build up your armor to anything like, you know, 30 plus, and then you can convert it into a damage that can strike. Unlike Shield Slam, which could only hit minions, Death Wish could hit anything.
So it could jump right over a taunt.
It could just jump, or it couldn't jump right over a taunt. But if the opponent was at 30 health and you had 30 armor, you could just bang, have your 30 armor and go straight across and smack him in the head.
Yeah, it's a little bit broken.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just a little bit broken. But anyway, guys, that was just six of the cards that are at this site. That there's 20 odd cards at that site. So it's definitely worth going
to more. Why don't you grab another three and we'll discuss them next week?
Okay, that sounds good.
Because this is kind of fun.
It is.
The cards that didn't make the cut.
But there you go. We can understand why. But everyone's got to leave their auto pecker at home now.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people. Don't touch my auto pecker. A lot of times, you know, we don't see that side of the programming and we say, hey, this would be a great card and that would be a great card. Well, they do that too, and then they find out how it's not.
That and better still, you know, there has been so many times, like I joked about the Grim Patron just now, but in all seriousness, there are times when cards come out and you're playing against somebody and they're just abusing you with this card. And you say to yourself, damn it, doesn't Blizzard ever playtest these things? Well, those examples you just gave shows...
Absolutely.
Of course they playtest them.
Yeah,
you can just imagine.
And think of how many that they didn't publish at that site that didn't make it in, that, you know, never even got mocked up.
Yep. Hey, guys, you know what time it is?
Clobberin' time!
Time for the play school clock.
Clobberin' time.
Woohoo!
Autumn's been talked to us because we know Ugly Brute doesn't play this. You brat.
Okay, I have a confession to make.
No.
This week's brawl was so unmemorable that I really don't remember.
No way! Oh my god, no, I had so much fun with it. How can you say that?
Okay, refresh my memory. Okay. Which one was it?
The name of this one was Who's the Boss Now? And every time you played your hero power, you were able to change it.
Oh,
it changed to something else.
Already.
Yes. So when I played a couple times as a mage, I didn't do very well. I tried to build my ping deck and lost horribly. Dusty's ping deck. And the way I won and then just trolled all over everything was, that's a new word, by the way. I had a druid deck. And I called out that card that makes my hero power one. So instead of having to... I was able to just cast and cast and cast. By turn nine, I could just use my hero power eight times. So, oh my god. It was...
Wow.
I had a lot of fun.
You and I were talking about it, and somehow in my brain, I was thinking we talked about it on the show last week. But
no,
that was actually this week's.
Last week was Randomonium.
You're right. That was a great one compared to this one. But, you know, this one, the first time I played, it wasn't until halfway through the game that I realized I could play my hero power more than once without having a special card on the deck to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's just like every time it switched, you have to play again. And the first couple times I played, my opponent kept getting the one that summoned out these gigantic mother mechs that would, womp all over you. They were, eight something max.
Oh,
remember those?
And if you hit it, it did something else too. I mean,
it
had a special ability too.
I just got
and
brutalized
it cost
with
two
it.
Mana to call out this thing. But then there were the ones that countered that. There was a hero power that made all their health one, and then the next one that obliterated everything for 1 point of damage. So it's like you could total board clear with two hero powers.
Right, but when you don't know that you can cast your hero power more than once, you don't realize that.
So then you play it once you figure out. You play a few more games.
Well, obviously, that's what I did. I played a couple more games. I put in the cards that affect the hero power, like make them cast one, etc. And I won after I realized how to play it. But I really didn't like it, so I didn't play it again after that.
There have been worse.
There have been worse. There have been worse, but I just did not enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And half of the reason I did not enjoy it was...
You had to create.
Yes, you already started it, because I had to create my own deck. I hate the ones where I have to create my own deck.
Ugly Brute, you don't play Brawl, but...
I don't, but I'm tempted to... Yes, I'm tempted to play it soon, based on what we've found out.
Well, we'll see. Let's talk about this.
Okay, well, have you guys...
Is this the part of the show, the segment called Rumors and Innuendo?
Rumors and Innuendos.
We left innuendo back at the auto pecker.
Gotcha.
So, there's people called data miners, and basically they're teenagers.
What kind of miners? What kind of
data,
miners?
Data miners. For you Americans, it's data miners. For us Australians, it's data miners.
I just needed you to translate from Aussie.
I love it. Data.
What a data miner is. He was awesome in
Star Trek. Yes.
Hold on a second. I just have to do this. Pronounce B-E-T-A. How do you say it in Australia?
Better.
You say beta, okay.
Like a beta fish.
A lot of people in Europe will say beta.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we don't say that.
We say
but
beta.
But anyway, you were researching data mining.
Let me have my whim. Okay, go ahead and
But now that I know data now that mine. I know what you now that I know what you were talking about, we did actually call it beta. But when you spilt it I said beta. So there you
better
go.
We're
that stupid. We're that stupid down here.
Better you bet.
What is a data miner? Well, basically, a data miner is a teenager or a guy in his early 20s who wears a lab coat. He's got calculators and pens in every pocket. He's got nerd tape keeping his glasses together. And what he does
did
is
you
he throws
go back in time 30 years.
He did.
Every week, a data miner will throw a digital fishing net over everything that Blizzard's doing, and then they'll trawl it in and see what they've caught that's new. And they'll have a look at all of the new data that the programmers
have put
into
the system. Oh, cut to the chase and tell us!
No, it's very exciting because they have found a chalkboard drawing and some information that suggests that an upcoming brawl is going to be cooperative.
Co-op brawl.
A co-op brawl, guys. How awesome is that?
Interesting.
With random players, I wonder, or with your friends?
But well, what would the board look like?
You know, I don't know. They didn't say that much in the information, but what they did show in the information that they data mined is they showed the chalkboard drawing. Because you know when you enter into the brawl, you get the chalkboard drawing of that brawl?
Yes.
Well, in this chalkboard drawing, you've got two humans dressed in armor holding swords, and they're both looking in the same direction, and in front of them is a massive mechanical minion that they're both fighting. And also based on another few bits of key data that they got, it does look like it's going to be a cooperative brawl. So it will be very interesting to see whether they are working on a co-op function and they're going to test it first of all in the brawl feature.
Or maybe there's a brawl where you play two decks simultaneously and that's why there's the two humans with swords.
Yeah, but then you're playing a brawl against the AI, which would be a bit boring.
Well, isn't
because
it'll
just be you. It'll just be you playing solitaire, pretty much. Whereas I think Brawl is more about two players playing against each other all together.
Okay, I see
so
that.
I'm pretty confident. I'm pretty confident it's going to be a co-op, which will be interesting to see how they do it and whether it's going to be a format for eventually bringing it as a full feature.
So my next question would be: do they allow the people who are co-oping to talk to each other? Because then, like every other Blizzard game, one of them could call the other person a noob and berate them for their poor playing skills.
I don't think so. I think maybe they just have to take turns at playing their cards and hope that the other guy knows what to do with his cards and that they're going to beat this minion together.
I'm guessing that's what will happen.
Otherwise, you'll get rage because this person's 17th effort of co-op and he still hasn't got his deck of cards yet for the week.
Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of that in WoW. There's even more of it in Heroes of the Storm. But nowhere are players as rude to each other in any Blizzard game as Hearthstone.
No, I'm sure you can find it other places.
Yeah, probably because in Hearthstone you've got time to sit there and think of something really evil to type and then type it.
Talking about really evil things that can be done, I'm going to move our segment from off of clobbering time to do a public service announcement and remind people that people can get into your Blizzard games if you're not careful. If you surf
the
web. Wait a
second. Aren't you supposed to become a cartoon character and say, listen, Johnny, you need to do this?
You're really dating yourself.
No, this isn't
Saturday
morning.
Now you're showing your 87,
you're really,
your whole 87
really,
years there.
Really, really showing your age here. This was an important announcement, and you just trumped on it.
Go ahead. Don't say Trump.
Oh, God. So anyway, anybody who is playing Blizzard games, the authenticator from Blizzard is free on your iPhone. In-game, I think, too. Well, there are different ways to get it where you don't actually have to purchase the hard piece of plastic that is the authenticator. Yes, the fob. This is very important, even to Hearthstone players, because Ugly Brute found out somebody didn't have an authenticator and really, really got hacked. So my part of this is to tell people, if you don't have an authenticator, even in Hearthstone, get one. Basically, somebody hacked somebody's game. This player had literally spent in actual dollar amounts, hundreds of dollars, and had quite the collection. Whatever happened was that this hacker got into his account, dusted all his cards, made legendaries, dusted legendaries, and proceeded to dust until he pretty much had nothing. So the player had contacted Blizzard for help. Blizzard at first said, hey, it was your mistake for not having an authenticator, but that then recanted that and helped the guy out and got everything back for him that had been hacked. Because Blizzard can see everything. But in any case, you know, it's not just World of Warcraft that can get hacked. Your Hearthstone accounts can get hacked. So just if you have, I'm sure there are other ways of doing it. I have it on my iPhone. It was free to do that.
There's a mobile authenticator.
Yep.
And there is the fob authenticator. And they even have a way that you can do a safety measure with your phone itself. Which is kind of weird and convoluted, and I don't know if anybody actually does that.
But in any case, definitely, folks, do that, because as Ugly Brute found for us, it can be done, which is really pathetically sad that somebody would be so cruel to do that. They're not doing it for gain.
Exactly.
They're not,
hate is going
to
hate.
Hate is gonna hate. You listen to Taylor Swift?
No, I don't. I just listen to pop culture references.
Okay, fine.
More than Micmac does.
See, now he's showing that he's showing he's 31 years of age by looking at media.
I'm ageless. I'm like Merlin. I youthen.
All right. Emails. We had one email. I'm not doing all emails right now, but embarrassing moments. We had one come up that I'm going to read from an email, and then Ugly Brute is going to give his own this week. From Will. I have made a few basic mistakes lately and forgotten how to math and ended up mana short like everybody, but I had forgotten that I could even misplay before even choosing my starting hand. And you ask how he does this. My buddy Chewy does a series called Let the Wookiee Win, where he plays plays against the heroic bosses. He recently restarted it and it relit my fire for beating up on heroic bosses. I spent an entire night beating Globulus. And then the next day at work, sat down on break and decided to ladder and joined my ranking team with my custom Globulus deck. I just conceded on the spot Then I added my opponent, and their response was, "Aren't you the person that just auto-conceded? What's that about?" I explained what happened. He laughed and wished me better luck, and I grabbed the right deck and ran back to the ladder. So I have so done that. Been playing on one deck and for like tourney, or I'm not for tourney, but for a quest, playing a deck I didn't really care for, and then like a couple hours later go back in and I just go to start playing because I expect it to be my mage or my shaman deck, and it's still the other deck that I don't really like playing. So I've been there, done exactly. That. Been there, done well, that.
What I love about this guy's email is he says that he didn't realize that you could actually have an embarrassing moment even before the game starts.
Exactly. So we've had embarrassing moments before the game starts. We've had embarrassing moments without actually playing. But tell us about yours, Ugly Brute.
Well, mine was against someone, and we both put. He was the one that made the embarrassing mistake. But you know how sometimes you can just get a vibe because of how they react, like the time they take to touch anything again and stuff. And what happened was I was playing against another warrior. Now this was before I went on holiday, so I haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. And it was when Patron Warrior was still going. So he was playing Patron Warrior, and we were about seven turns in. And I'd been hitting him, but I'd only been taking off armor. I hadn't actually hurt his health total. So his health total was still at 30. And he had a couple of minions on the board, but they weren't damaged. And he played a minion, and then he played Battle Rage. And he wasn't injured, and nothing that he owned was injured. So he didn't get any cards from Battle Rage.
Okay.
And you could just see him pause, like... I was paused. He was paused. I just started laughing because I know that this guy felt really stupid that he had played his Battle Rage card when he didn't have anything injured to draw a card with.
You know what might have happened, though?
He was playing Warrior and didn't realize.
No.
He thought that he was injured. What do you reckon might have happened?
Sometimes I will look at cards in my hand and I'll be trying to put it back into my hand, and it'll click and just cast it when I am trying not to cast it.
Yeah.
So that could have happened too.
It could have, but
might have just been he didn't realize and cast the card.
What also happened was on the turn before, I had actually hit him pretty hard with something. I can't remember what it was now because it was a week or two ago. But I hit him hard with something, but it only took off his armor. It didn't damage his health.
He assumed that he was wounded,
and then he played it, and nothing happened. So, yeah, it was pretty funny. Needless to say, he lost the game. I give him the respect that he didn't insta concede, like I would have done. I would have insta conceded.
So, the term glitch slapped has been getting a lot of play lately. We had an email on a glitch slapping. That corresponded with a conversation Autumn's Bane had last week or 2 weeks ago.
Last week.
Want to read it?
It was mostly a solo conversation because you didn't have much to say in response to it. But, yes, I was talking about how I would get new cards and numbers would appear on my tab after I disenchanted them. Now, I went and I studied every time it happened this week until I figured out that there is a pattern. It wasn't just random, and there were certain things happening in a certain order. And just after I found that, we get an email from Forrest, who has written us before.
What's his surname?
I'm not going to do that. Unless it's...
is it Gump?
Hello. My name's Forrest. Forrest Gump. My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
No, unless it's signed at the bottom, I'm not going to do surnames. So, Forrest says, as he was running...
No, it's not Gump.
I have noticed that bug with the new cards as well. It appears to be the cards that you dusted, it also marks as new. But a trick I read somewhere is you can search for new in the search box and it will only show your new cards or cards that have new in the text. so at least it makes it easier to clean up the annoying notifications.
Nice to know.
And congrats again on 100 episodes. So yeah, without doing that, which to me doesn't sound really any easier, you just tab through all your tabs and you see numbers as if you've just gotten new cards over the cards that you've just dusted.
It does seem easier if you just type new in the search, that'll bring them up. That's awesome. That way you don't have to flip pages.
Everything is easier to one person than somebody else, but
bananas.
No, it's not a big deal. But what I don't understand is there was just a patch. Why didn't the patch fix this? That's what I want to know.
Inconceivable.
Inconceivable. No. I don't.
You keep using that word.
I don't think it means
what you think it means.
It does. I don't mean to be sounding grumpy. I really shouldn't be sounding grumpy about this.
So, because you are grumpy. It's been noted.
I am not.
Never. Never.
No, it's a facade.
Let's talk Warlock.
Warlock.
Are you guys ready to talk Warlock?
We are.
All right. We're going to change things up. I'm going to have Autumn's Bane start.
No, wait. Thank you, Forrest, for the letter.
Yes, thank you, Forrest.
See, you didn't let me finish.
we hope that the shrimp boating goes well.
The what?
Shrimp
Forest.
Thing.
Yes.
Doesn't he
Let's
own a
not
shrimp
talk
boat?
About all the ways to do shrimp now.
Anyway, like I was saying, shrimp is the fruit of the sea. You can barbecue it, boil it, broil it, bake it, saute it. There's shrimp kebabs, shrimp creole, shrimp gumbo, pan fried, deep fried, stir fried. There's pineapple shrimp, lemon shrimp, coconut shrimp, pepper shrimp, shrimp soup, shrimp stew, shrimp salad, shrimp and potatoes, shrimp burger, shrimp sandwich. That's about it.
Adam's main, talk about Demon Fuse.
Okay, do I do my regular one or my golden one?
The golden one, because everyone else has got that.
So let me read the golden one. Demon Fuse is a 2 casting cost. Spell, Warlock only. Give a demon +3/+3. Give your opponent a mana crystal.
And I know you hate this because you hate giving your opponent anything.
Well, unless you, use it on turn 10 or something when there's already a glut of mana. But, it's pretty in gold, but no. I don't like giving my opponent stuff. I know that sounds childish and immature and not like a strategic way of thinking, but things backfire on me whenever I give my opponent. That's why I had to stop playing Elite Tauren Chieftain.
Because you didn't want them to hit a card.
No, they always get the better one.
Uh-huh. This is not a bad card. Yeah, you're giving them a mana crystal, but you're also pumping the crap out of a card. I mean, you get +3/+3 for 2 mana is nothing to sneeze at.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Hey, guys, if you have a look at him, just a question. Do you think he's got a problem with substance abuse?
Because of the snot pouring out of his nose? Oh, out of his eyes?
Those are his eyes.
And,
his
purple snot.
He looks like he's addicted to something you shouldn't really take.
Pepto-Bismol, because it's pink.
That fuchsia stuff coming out of his eyes, that's all animated on the gold version.
That would be fantastic.
Cool.
And I do dig the color that he chose to dye his beard and everything in. It's awesome.
Ah. So, yeah,
that,
I think it's a decent card. What do you think?
I would never see him in play. I hate him.
Okay. I just thought for 2 mana, 3/3 is not that bad. And but if you play it right and late in game, that you're right, Autumn's Bane, the mana crystal wouldn't matter. So, sometimes that 3/3 can win the game.
True, but remember, if you play it late in the game, it might not matter that you're given the mana crystal, but also a 3/3 is pretty relevant in the late game too, so you have to sort of play him early.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a decent card.
You're playing against a druid.
Oh my goodness, could you imagine that?
Oh my god, too many mana crystals. That hurts my brain. All right, so I'm going to do the next one, the Tiny Knight of Evil. 2 mana, 3 ouchies and 2 health. Like that, 3 ouchies. This one is whenever you discard a card, gain +1/+1. It works in a demon deck because you've got a lot of cards that, like the ones that charge, where you discard two cards, discard one card. So that's about the only way I think of that you can discard cards,
yeah,
yes?
Yeah, and the succubus discards cards. And he is a demon, so yeah, he'd probably be decent in the right type of demon deck.
Right.
But I won't put him in my demon deck.
I like the name, though.
Tiny Knight of Evil.
What do you think, Ugly Root?
Yeah, I love this guy. I don't love him to have him in a deck, but I just love the look. I love the name. I love everything that he represents.
Except his card value,
yep.
Okay. Why don't you do the next one?
All right, so the next
one
is the...
Guys,
is it Wrathguard or Wrathguard?
Wrathguard.
In the United States, we would call it Wrathguard.
Well, whenever he heads down under, he likes to be known as Wrathguard.
Okay.
And
like Rothgar?
Yep, exactly. He's a 2-cost demon, 4 damage, 3 health, so pretty, very, extremely powerful for turn 2. However, every time he takes damage, that damage is also dealt to you as the hero. So probably wouldn't want to play it against a priest who can keep hitting him for 2 and then healing him for 2. But if you're playing against a non-priest, he's probably a great card to drop on the board on turn 2.
Nope.
That was a good review there, a one-word review.
Nope. Here's why. I just had that card played against me, and I was playing my mage. And he cast it, I think, on turn 3. And on turn 4, I hit him with a 6-point fireball, which
yep.
killed him and damaged the warlock for 6 points.
Ah, so he
because
takes, even
he
though
takes
he's only
more
worth
3. Damage than 3. Yes. Yeah, so if you
oh,
hit him
case,
for 10
like
points of damage, that yeah, your opponent's going to take 10 points. That
he
warlock
is deported from Australia.
In the base.
Yeah. Magic the Gathering back in the day, and they may have changed it in the past 10 years.
Are we talking the 50s now?
Well, I only played Magic for the first, let's see, it was the first 10 years, and not really so much in the last 10 years. But it used to be that a creature could not take more damage than it had health, that the overflow was just lost. In fact, there was an ability called Stampede, which would actually hit your opponent for all the stuff that the creature didn't take. But minions in Hearthstone are different. They can take as much damage as you could give them, and it counts as them taking it, even if it's overkill. For example, the demon, the Mistress of Pain, I will put +5/+5 on her and do a crap ton of damage against a 1/1, and I'll still be healed for all of that extra damage that I dealt, even though the minion could not withstand it. So what Blacklace just said about a 6 casting cost fireball on it, yeah, or how about chucking a fire blast at that baby?
Yeah,
not a fire blast,
yeah.
A pyroblast.
10
yeah,
points right there. And if you've got other cards that pump your spell power, you're hurting it even more. So yeah, it's a dangerous card.
It seems good on the surface because you do get a decent... I mean, this is a decent amount of damage for turn 2 or turn 1 if you have a coin.
Absolutely.
But every time my opponent has played this card in the past few weeks, I've annihilated it very quickly, sometimes even before he got to lay damage to me, and the opponent took the damage too. Maybe that's just RNG and my experience, but Blacklace and I have both had the same experience. So based on that experience alone, I wouldn't play him. It's too risky.
Right.
Yeah, on turn 2, he's good, but anything after that is too dangerous. Because on turn 2, he still hits for 8. He still hits over 2 turns before a fireball can get him. But
not if
yeah,
they've got
up.
The crystal. If they're on their second turn and they've got the crystal, I mean, there are ways
a mage
yeah,
can
the
use
coin.
A frostbolt.
Thank you. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, he's iffy, especially if you're playing late game.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can cast him, and actually, before he even gets to deal damage, you could be taking damage from him and he could be dead.
Don't get me wrong. I get the allure, and this probably works well in certain types of decks, but I'm not going to play him.
Unless you put your +3/+3 from your Demon Fuse on him. Now he's a 7/6.
I don't think you'd want to.
No.
You'd want to.
Nope. Again, I didn't find it a very good card because, as I said, when I played against a warlock who used it, I hurt him pretty badly because of it. All I'm saying, because I just want to keep going, and we've got more to talk about, and we're running towards the hour. Autumn's going to talk about the Fist of Juraxxus.
Forecasting cost demon spell, it's a rare. When you play or discard this, deal 4 damage to a random enemy. When you play or discard this. So there seems to be a theme developing with these new demon cards of discarding. So you can what are the odds, though, when a card makes you discard cards? It's always random. Right?
Well, you have to have this in your hand.
Right. But I don't recall you being able to ever select the cards that get discarded. Again, in Magic, there are mechanics where you discard a card on purpose.
Right.
This one, it's always random. So you have to count on the randomness taking this card out of your hand.
No, but if the randomness doesn't take it out, you can still cast it for 4 points of damage.
Yes.
Either way, you are going to deal 4 points of damage.
Randomly.
Yes.
This card has got what I would like to call insurance, because you either can get to play it, or as a warlock, if it gets discarded, you still get to play it.
Right.
Yeah. So, too random for my taste. But, you know, if you're holding it late game and you get those demons that charge over and you have to discard, and you've only got one or two cards in your hand, then yes, this is definitely going to get discarded. So it's the type of card you keep in your deck just in case you have to throw it out, but you can cast it. So I don't like it personally. I'm not liking most of the Warlock cards, actually, but I could see why people could use this in a certain type of deck. I don't know. What do you think, Brute?
I think it would be awesome if you could guarantee you could discard it, because if you can discard it, then for 0 mana, you get 4 damage. But if you play it, you only get 4 damage for 4 mana, which is really bad. So, and plus, it's random. So,
to me, the biggest cost of this card is taking up one of those 30 slots in your deck. I'd rather put something else in. Because sometimes the cost of something, of just having it in your deck, is not worth it. And my demon deck works just fine without taking a chance on this. That's me. Next.
Yep. I think one of the best cards. No, it's not really one of the best cards. I love this card. First of all, I love horses, so I can't help but love this card. But the Dreadsteed, forecasting cost is 1/1. And you don't think that it's going to be a problem because it's a 1/1 creature. The thing is, it's unkillable. Its death rattle summons it right back into play. So the only way of getting rid of this card is to silence it. Period. End of statement. Awesome card. And it's got this really pretty graphic, too. So I like it. I finally got one, and I'm hoping to get a second so that I can put 2 in my deck.
You want to hear some trivia?
Sure.
The devs were originally going to make this a neutral card. Guess why they didn't?
Why?
Because of Warsong Commander.
Oh, cool. So now it can. Now it can defect from Warlock and go to...
Warsong Commander is warrior only. This is demon only. If this were a neutral card and the warrior put it in their deck, then it would always have charge.
Yep, and it could kill things and ping it to death and then come back and keep going on to something else because it would have charge the second it came out. True that. Warsong Commander did go live with that. Warsong Commander, because we didn't mention it, we talked about it was going to happen last week. It did happen last week, so now it's official.
After our show, though. When we talked about it, it wasn't yet. Yep.
Nerf did take place.
I also like this card a lot.
Yeah.
I think 4 is a little pricey, maybe.
Yeah,
but I like
it. It's got a lot of kick because...
it's a horse that has kick?
Yes. How'd you like that? Thank you. It's really, except for a silence, it's an unkillable card. So I like it.
I like it.
It's like a phoenix.
Shall we prance on to the next one?
We shall, if you have
I don't prance. But I'll make a bargain with you.
I'll bet is it a deal. Dark bargain?
Let's make it a dark bargain. Nice one, guys. Nice. You guys are so good at segues.
Go
we should
for
have a
it.
Picture of you two on it. If there's ever a segue minion, we should have a picture of you two on it. But It's a 6-mana costing spell, Dark Bargain. Destroy 2 random enemy minions. However, you also discard 2 random cards.
Which like means you...
Yes, exactly.
Exactly, that'll be awesome,
and if you have
it?
2 of them, then it's 8 damage, boom, boom. And you're destroying 2 random enemy minions on top of doing the 8 damage to other minions. It could be a board clearer.
In a perfect world, huh?
Yes, in a perfect world.
Have you noticed the irony here of constantly discarding cards in a deck whose hero power is to hurt yourself to draw cards to begin with?
Exactly. So you either win fast or you die of fatigue.
Somebody played something today. The warlock I was playing against, whenever he had a card out that when he hurt himself, it would get a +2/+2. So I've never seen anybody use the card, and every time he used his hero power, the creature went from like a 4/4 to a 6/6 to an 8/8 very quickly.
Well, yeah, there's some cards saying. That you wonder why they're not popular, but because whenever you see them, they work really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, anyway, I like this Dark Bargain. You didn't ask me how I felt. I think that late game, you got your opponents probably got 2 legends out. Just throw this sucker down and they're both gone. I like
it.
Do you like it because
he looks grumpy?
No.
Good.
That's a satyr. Satyrs are
yeah, grumpy's a dwarf.
Warcraft satyrs are grumpy. Because they used to be elves.
Mm-hmm. Really
cool. Anyway, the discard 2 random cards thing I don't like, but destroying 2 minions, that's kind of alluring.
Mm-hmm. And if
absolutely.
If you have cards that act upon your discards, because Fist of Jiraxxus is not the only one that does that. There are some neutral cards I think that even do that. So you can actually do some damage with this card. It's a good card. I don't have this one. I have
it's
it grayed out.
That's why you don't have it.
It's epic. Autumn's Bane, you're next.
Void Crusher. 6 casting cost, 5/4 demon. See, they've given us a lot of demons this time around. Destroy a random minion.
No.
Move on.
No,
let's
what?
Let's do Wilfred Fizzlebang straight up.
You have to just jump right over the Void Crusher.
Wait a second. Why are you stopping me in the middle?
Sorry, go
ahead. Destroy a random minion for each player. You know, the way that's worded, it makes it sound like destroy 2 random minions because there are 2 players.
Does it include him? It must, mustn't it? Because it's Inspire, so it must include him.
No, I don't think they work on themselves.
It means destroy a random minion for each player, and it doesn't
say
it
can't be the Void Crusher.
It doesn't say it excludes him.
Because if it's the Void Crusher, you could for 8 mana, you could just kill the Void Crusher straight up.
So we're going to crush this one and continue to the next one, because this one just isn't even worth it. And I've got it in gold, which is really depressing.
I bet she looks awesome, though, with all those blues.
Wow, we're not even going to discuss it? You're just going to skip right over it?
That's how bad it is, Autumn Spain.
Would you really play this card?
I'm not
you're destroying
sure.
one of your own creatures every time you use your Inspire.
No, I wouldn't.
No. Hurting yourself and killing your creatures.
I'm just trying to not sound so negative with this warlock thing.
All right.
But these
all
warlock
right.
cards
here,
really suck.
Here's a positive one. There's a warlock card that if you destroy it, if it gets destroyed, you get a random warlock from your demon from your hand. So if you use your Inspire and it destroys that card with that death rattle, it'll bring another one out. Just don't destroy it by using
What are you
your...
talking about?
There's a warlock card, and let me see if I can find it.
Oh, no, let's stick to this expansion, especially since...
Well, no, what I'm saying, you were trying to... If it could be a card that's actually decent, and what I'm saying is if you have a Doom Lord on your board and it gets destroyed... No. Never mind. That doesn't work either.
Can we move on to Wilfred Fizzlebang?
That's what I said to do in the first place, and you made me keep talking.
Now you had an embarrassing moment.
Of course, because, you know,
but we are
casual
podcast, so it's okay that we have an
Fizzlebang.
Embarrassing
kind of sounds like
Who?
My...
I've never seen
Wilfred
this guy.
Fizzlebang. No, I don't have...
Where
did
he come from? Yeah, he summons Jiraxxus.
Cards you draw from your hero power cost zero.
That makes sense.
All right, you finish talking about it, Black Lace, so that I can rant about how much I'm not happy about it.
Okay, I'm going to talk about it because I don't have it. It's six casting costs for a 4/4 creature. If you hurt yourself for two, whatever card you draw from hurting yourself basically gets put into play immediately if you want it.
That's a cool freaking card.
I think it is.
That's what I thought, guys. That's what I thought. I was when they, you know how they were revealing cards before the expansion went live? I looked at Wilfred Fizzlebang and I thought, this guy is broken. He is going to be in every single Warlock deck. He is going to, like, smash faces. He's going to win everything. He's going to be OP.
No?
But no? I haven't seen him anywhere. No one's playing him.
Because
no,
he's a legendary.
Him.
Maybe no one's got him.
But even I've got him. Oh, no, I don't. Sorry. I dusted him. Okay, so don't worry about that
you
argument.
Dusted him.
That argument doesn't work.
Oh,
but
my God.
The point is, I'm not seeing any of the top players or anyone that's got full collections playing this guy. What is going on? What has he done wrong that he is not getting played all the time?
Well, he's annoying, first of all. Even Lord Jaraxxus dusted him. At least he did in the Lich King expansion. I don't know. The Warlocks tend to use their... Maybe they're not using their hero power late game enough.
Yeah.
It costs six to get him out. So by the time you're that far into the game, how often are you going to use your hero power? But still, even if you use it once or twice, getting free casting cost cards... But then again, you've got plenty of mana at that stage of the game, too. Yeah, I could see why people aren't doing it, but I still think it's cool.
Ugly Brute,
yes, right.
What about the next card? I'm just moving along because we are running time-wise.
This guy is pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. He's a vanilla creature, so he's got no text. Fearsome Doomguard. Cost 7, 6 attack, 8 health, high health. He is under the golden 7 to get hit by a big game hunter. So I would say that he would probably be an excellent choice in Arena, but I don't think that he has any...
He's got no kick. He's just a demon.
Exactly. And he's got no synergy with anything in a construction deck, constructed deck.
Yes, he does. He's a demon. That's the synergy.
Yeah, well, true. Yeah, but there's lots of other demons out there that blow smoke up my skirt before this guy.
Yep, but the only thing is I got to say about him, do you know they were originally called Cuddle Guards, but they were not inspiring the proper amount of fear. That's the flavor text.
Do you stop stealing my gig?
You're not going to be talking about him because he was done. He's a big deal.
I have two of them in gold, and I have one of them in my demon deck.
Uh-huh. Oh, really? Would you ever play him?
I just told you. I have one in my demon deck.
Oh, you do? Okay.
What part of one in my demon deck did not compute?
The part where I was yelling at the dogs to be quiet.
Okay.
Okay, so, Ugly Brute. Talk to us really briefly, if possible, about Challenge Stone 4.
No worries. Well, I was going to go on about it for a while because it was so awesome, but I'll just keep it short. And I also want to give credit to Micmac because I've just come back from holidays and I said to Micmac, man, there's so much that's happened while I've been away. Can you give me a quick rundown on what to look for in tournaments? And he said, well, check out Challenge Stone 4, which happened last weekend. So I went and looked it up. I read about it, and I've watched a couple of YouTube edits on it. But anyway, cut a long story short, Challenge Stone is the one where they come up with a rule for the players that they have to stick to while they're building their decks. And for this one, Challenge Stone 4, this was the rule. All the cards in your three decks, you had to have three decks, all the cards in your three decks have to be either epics, legendaries, or from TGT.
Ooh.
Yeah, that makes
pretty
some interesting thoughts, doesn't it? Actually,
wow.
It turned out to be fantastic because you got to see a lot of these professional players were using cards that you've never really seen in play.
Hmm.
Even from the original set, a lot of legendaries you'd never seen for a long time. There were 8 players, but ones that you may have heard of that were in there was Firebat, the current world champion for the next 3 weeks at least. Hot Form, who was one of the guys who's gotten through for America into this year's world championships. And of course, one of our favorites, Colento, was in there as well. So I was rooting for Colento, and he got up as far as the semifinals, where he faced off against Firebat. Now, sadly, Colento decided to make most of his decks fairly slow decks. They were powerful, they were well put together, but they were slow in their build up on the board. Whereas Firebat chose the opposite. He went for very aggressive decks, which I'll tell you why in a sec. So Firebat beat him in the semi-final, which means that the final of Challenge Stone was Firebat versus Ekop, of which Ekop was the winner. So I won't go into... I was going to talk about that a fair bit, but I won't. But to cut a long story short, the main winning points for Firebat... So Firebat, current world champion, he won Challenge Stone 4. And he realized when he was putting his deck together that based on the rules... there were not any area of effects board clears that you could use. And also, he realized that there weren't very many good spells. So he decided to use Millhouse Mana Storm in his decks and to have very aggressive...
to bring those cards in.
And to have very aggressive decks. So he took a gamble when he played... he was always playing Millhouse very early, and he was taking a gamble that his opponents would not have spells. And it paid off for him, and he pretty much wiped the board every time he brought out Millhouse Mana Storm. He also had a lot of wins with Leroy Jenkins. He used Leroy Jenkins for charge. But there were a lot of cards that we saw in his guys. There was Onyxia, there was Prince Galowix, there was Millhouse, there was Leroy, there was Refreshment Vendors. A lot of things you don't see much were in Challenge Stone 4. So for those who have got time, hop onto YouTube and watch yourself some Challenge Stone 4 games. They were a blast.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ugly Brew. That's cool.
No worries.
We'll have to watch that. Honest Bane, talking about tourneys.
Our seventh quarterly tournament, casual tournament, a worthy opponent casual tournament will take place on November 21st at 7 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And the invitations will be going out within the next couple of days. And if you're not on our mailing list, send us an email. We did get one person who sent an email, so maybe we'll get more. Everyone else who's ever been in one before, they're on the mailing list, so expect to see them soon.
Absolutely. All right, awesome. Really quickly, I want to thank Apologetic Jedi I'm sending him a shout out for an iTunes review. 5-star review has become my favorite Hearthstone podcast. It is a, quote, everyman podcast, unquote, that I can listen to and enjoy for just the humor in it, even from the grumpy guy. Keep it going.
See what he called you, Ugly Brute?
Oh,
man. That hurts when he called me grumpy. That hurts when he called me grumpy. But you know what? He's an apologetic Jedi. So
he was really calling Blacklace a guy.
Yeah, I'm such a grumpy guy. Grumpy guy.
Well, who else was he talking about then?
Okay. Well, I was scratching my head. There's no one that's grumpy on this show, so I don't know what's going on there.
I mean, look how cheerful and giggly Umsbane always is.
Exactly.
So anyway, thank you all for listening. Do you guys have anything else to say? Thank you for the review, by the way. Apologetic Jedi, appreciate it. You guys have anything?
Absolutely.
To say?
What does a Jedi have to apologize for?
I have one quick thing to say that might be interesting, but it's only a rumor, so no one hold me to it. But apparently, it was taken down, but just for a very short amount of time, Blizzard put out that at the next, at BlizzCon, they'll be talking about the future adventures in Hearthstone.
Oh, cool. Hopefully they will. I'm sure they will on a panel.
Does that mean that it's an adventure next and that we're going to hear about it BlizzCon?
I'm about ready to start saving my gold again.
Yep, we're due. All right, so folks, you can find us and follow us on Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can listen to us Monday night live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Twitch TV. You can send us an email at awhearthstone@gmail.com. You can send us a review on iTunes or download us on iTunes. You can find us on Facebook at AWO Hearthstone. Listen to us on Stitcher Satellite Radio, Google Plus, A Worthy Opponent. Special thanks to HoloSweet Media and the theme music provided by Awesome City Limits, who won last year. We're going to see in the next couple of weeks. I wonder who's going to win the next BlizzCon talent
music.
Show.
Yeah.
So thank you again, Mick Nick, as always. Yeah. Thanks, McMac, for the Twitch feed on the game that people can watch during our podcast. And thank you all listeners for being there, supporting us, listening to us, etc. Have a great week and happy hearthing.
Bye, everyone.
Of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.